fair enough. You know, that's not good, but like, I don't know, it's complicated and
If the Americans don't like it, maybe they should vote in a new Congress to change the law.
well, they're gonna have to wait 4 years.
I know, but
Yeah.
there's midterms in 2 years. But
True, 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 yeah.
you know, it's one of those things
I like their
where
staggered elections. I kind of wish we did that.
we know what the Conservative Party of Canada, for example, well, we don't know for sure because I don't believe they've actually released any kind of platform outside of catchy slogans that rhyme, speaking of. But you know, they will hopefully release a platform that details exactly what they plan to do. And our Canadians can then make informed decisions, not just catchy things that rhyme. And likewise, the Liberals and the NDP, the Greens, and the Bloc, will also hopefully share what it is that they plan to do. And if you don't like it, vote them out. Wait until the next election and vote them out. And it is unfortunate that the die is cast in the United States. Trump is coming in. There is a Republican Congress, and all we can do is sort of sit and watch and see what happens and maybe learn from what happens. But for Canadians, it's as sad as it is, all we can really do is respond and react. It's a bit too late at this point. Now, I wanted to.
It took me just a couple seconds to find the Conservative Party platform, but this is posted in 2023. I don't know if they have a more recent one. This is the one that they have on their website, though. I can't find anything on it, though. I don't think they specifically mention trans issues at the federal level, anyway.
I want to move on to Alberta, specifically Barrhead, Alberta. Now, we have talked about municipalities, particularly very small municipalities,
Okay.
where they are find themselves immediately thrust into the crux of a major philosophical social issues debate, and are then often left wondering, okay, what's the option that upsets the least amount of people? It's never a good thing. Like we were talking before about the flag being raised. I forget which particular small Ontario town, but it was a small Ontario town,
The half
and they
dozen
said,
of them,
look,
yeah.
we would,
Yeah.
you know, it's not that we're homophobic. We literally don't have another flagpole. Like we we have three flagpoles. The
Yeah.
federal, the provincial, and the municipal. Like we only have three flagpoles, guys. And I get that. Oh, I get that. You know what I mean? And that's why the
I wish I could
decision
remember
in
that town because they also said, like, if the downtown BIA pulls their money together and gets tiny little rainbow flags to put all over the light posts downtown, like, we're not going to stop them. Good on them. You know, we just
yeah.
have a limited budget. Small towns have limited budgets that are quite often supplanted, but not supplanted, supplemented by the province. So for small towns to not have a budget, I don't blame them. It's a
Yeah.
struggle for all of them, really. So yeah, if you don't do a pride thing, I don't know. It's a different story. Go on.
But now we're going to move back to Barrhead in Alberta. Now, they recently had a Democratic vote. It was really a bit of a referendum. And it's on the, I think it's, what do they call it? The Neutral Space Bylaw. So there was a petition, about 700 people reached forward and they put this forward position saying, like, look, public infrastructure should be neutral, regardless of who it is, if you are gay or straight, Christian or Muslim, Sikh or whatever the case may be. The public infrastructure is therefore for everybody in the town of Barrhead, Alberta. Now, about a third of the population came out and voted, and
It's a large turnout
57%.
for a
It's
plebiscite.
a very big, we love plebiscites.
Yeah.
It's a very big turnout for it, and it demonstrates the will of the people. 57% came out. I think it's about 1,100 residents voted specifically for the law. And what it does is effectively bar political, social, religious, or commercial symbols from municipal land. There have been some pretty expected outcomes of this. The Pride crosswalk, for example, will have to be repainted to be non-Pride related. There is a disability Pride crosswalk. Well, that also is going to have to be reverted to standard infrastructure. But the Royal Canadian Legion has a flag that will also have to come down because it's political in nature. The Treaty 6 flag from the Indigenous community in the area as well, also apparently a part of the plan to come down.
I would think of that as being an extension of the municipality. I think that that's something that I would put an exception for.
I agree. I mean, it depends on how you see Indigenous communities. You know, if you see them as nation-to-nation relationships, in which case, then yeah, keep the flag up. I think that that's a very different conversation.
Than
an Easter egg hunt. You know,
whatever. It is a social movement, but it is also just a region. Like it's a municipality of its
own. They hold nationhood in a lot of ways. It depends entirely on one. I don't know the Treaty 6.
That was a little bit more complicated than whether or not, or not Staples should be able to advertise. Because thing about commercial spaces, I think a lot of people were like, I don't like going to City Hall and seeing advertisements for local businesses or even just, I don't know, like, do we really need something in there for Best Buy? Like, is that something we need to see when we're in City Hall? And I think a lot of people would be like, what is that doing there? That's weird.
I am not too upset with, I'm not upset with this new bylaw in Alberta. I suspect that for queer folks there, it's going to be a less colorful town. Mm-hmm. I imagine the businesses will still have things during Pride, etc. But also at the same time, when you're removing Pride crosswalks and removing the Royal Legion's or the Canadian Legion flags, what that says to me is that this is universal. You know, we're not celebrating and empowering disabled people in our community with this sidewalk. We're not doing that anymore. Yeah, but we're also not celebrating or empowering the Legion.
City Hall is for paperwork and waste removal and public transit authorities and end of list. And I think that there is something behind that I can get behind, that there is that sort of unilateral, there it is. Because similarly in the past week, the township of Emo, I think we actually reported on this last week, they lost the Human Rights Commission's case about refusing to do things for Pride. And I think it's just
a Pride proclamation.
I think it really boiled down to the way that they argued it. It's if they basically said we don't do any proclamations at all, that'd be one thing, but they specifically said we will not do Pride. And again, like we were to say, you know, if it has to do with the budget, because Emo is a very small town, it's moderately remote, maybe not have much going for it. They don't have the budget to do a crosswalk or make a flagpole or something, that's fine, but they wouldn't even read it into the minutes. And that's where I think that's where they got caught, because they wouldn't even just like say, you know, we as the township of Emo hereby recognize somewhere in the world it is Pride. End of reading it in, you know, they wouldn't even do that. And I think some of the arguments they gave, that's why. I think it's just a matter of if you state your case and it's clear and it's rational, I think a lot of people might be able to say, well, you know, I'd like to see Pride in City Hall, but you made a case, whatever. You know, I think that's what's happening in this instance here, the one in Alberta, where it's like they stated their case. If they're not doing Christmas or Pride, it's like, well, it's just everyone then. And I think a lot of people might be able to step back and be like, that this feels acceptable.
And I encourage our listeners to think about that. You know, do we want Pride crosswalks? Mm. Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know how our listeners feel about that.
There is weird symbolism of stepping on a flag, though.
Yeah. But do we also want tons of Christmas garlands and trees and so on and so forth? And my mother, who is not Christian, by the way, we were in, of all places, Hobby Lobby in the States. And she's like, oh, they can't get me to not, you know, won't get me stopping to say Christmas. I'm like, who is telling you to stop saying Christmas? Like, who are these phantom people? Also, you are a witch. You are like an actual pagan.
I mean, that's a convenient thing about your family being like Welsh Wiccans. Like a quarter to half of Christmas symbolism was stolen from the Celts.
Yeah, so and she's like just upset.
It's already your stuff. You're just calling it the wrong thing. Like
It's like, this
you.
isn't why, like, this isn't odd. This is an unexpected hill to die on. I'm
Yeah.
just, you know what I mean? But the point I'm sort of circling back to is,
Yep.
look, in Barhead, they said, you know, it's all or nothing. And they go, okay, fine, that's we'll do nothing. And I am curious as to how the locals feel about the Legion flag being
Yeah,
taken down, the disability pride crosswalk being taken down, the, you know, how that'll come up when they're asking for representation of Christian holidays, you know, through Christmas and obviously into the new year. If it is a universal none of the above, then fine. I am happy to live in a community where collectively they've said, look, we don't want public displays of political and social commercial interests. The issue that we have as queer folks in general, and I think you referenced the emo case, it's like, yeah, we love the Legion, we love the Christians, but those gays,
I get the
you
point.
can't get a proclamation, you can't have rainbow things. If it's just queer folks, that's targeted, it's intentional, it's bigoted.
There's a right
If
way and
it's
a wrong way to do
everybody,
most things.
yeah, exactly. If it's everybody, then we're going to be in a slightly less colorful world. But that's
Be
the
good on the
world that the
budget,
people
though.
of Barhead want to live in.
Yeah, Barhead City budget's going to get a lot more loose over the next couple of years.
Yeah, they'll be, now that they don't have to spend all that money on paint, they're going to be, you know, rolling it in tax rebates up the wazoo. Maybe they should mail people small checks
I wonder if they'll
for
make an exception for Canada Day. I feel like that's another one of those like reasonable exceptions.
there was a mural that was constantly being defaced in East London. And what they did is they put, because it doesn't have to be a crosswalk, and that's why I started the conversation about the rainbow laces. You know, is this approach the best approach? You know, when we talked about that Polish or Estonian town that just created like an optical rainbow with like a light and moving water, they just shined a light and like just did the prism effect, and voila. Prism rainbow. But in East London, there's a council there who are just up to their eyeballs, and every time they put a rainbow down, someone defaces it, which is just unnecessary. So what they did is they put a wrap on the lampposts about 10 foot in the air. So as you're walking around and driving around, there is a bit of visual noise on the lamppost where there's like all nice rainbow colored, but remarkably impractical to get a hold of.
I just looked it up and you're going to be embarrassed.
Is it not Slovenia
It was
or?
Warsaw.
Oh, it was Poland. Okay. I, for some reason, I was not convinced it was Poland, but it was Poland. But yeah, I mean, Poland creates a water feature. In London, in the UK, they put the pride flags two-thirds up a lamppost to keep it being driven over. I think we need to be a little bit creative, and there are solutions out there. But if you're in Barrhead, Alberta, the solution is none of the above. So, well, each to their own. Any closing thoughts on this issue?
Just make sure it's a conversation and not an assertion, because if you assert something without giving your reasons why, people can turn against that. Whereas if it's a conversation, if somebody pushes back, then you can listen to them and then you can convince them.
Exactly. All right. We'll be jumping to Waves by Pater, and we will be back just after this.
You could call it a phase, you could call it a wave, rise and falling inside. Tectonic plates every handful of days, shifting over and high. And I don't know what natural will come this idle spring. Comes to console me, holding me when every notion is grim and the ocean has taken control.
Says
'cause all I know is push and pull has made most everything.
Welcome back to Canqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Sebastian.
And something quite monumental happened last week. So December 3rd is World AIDS Day.
Okay.
And for the first time, the AIDS Memorial Quilt was laid out on the lawn of the White House.
Oh.
Now, for our listeners, why are they putting quilts on a lawn? And what is the significance of that? Sebastian, do you want to offer some insights to our...
Well, it has been laid out at the Washington Monument. I think that was the first time they really displayed it. But putting it on the White House is a very different beast because the Washington Mall is open space. So the AIDS quilt was started in the early 90s. It kind of grew steam over time. I can't remember the exact year that it started. But basically, people would make a commemorative quilt square, the kind that you would see on a family blanket, where everybody would like make their own square that depicted them, and you would pass it down between the generations. And it was like that, except each square represented somebody who had passed away from HIV. And the idea was to stitch them together and make a giant blanket, sort of representing all the individuals, like as persons, not as just as numbers, because that's one of the reasons why they chose the quilt, was to sort of emphasize that these are individuals with their own story, and sort of stitch them together into a big blanket that represents everyone who had passed from HIV. And this has been going around for quite some time. And the original display was really just out there to show how many people there were, because they did have to use the Washington Monument Mall. And they almost covered it. It was a huge blanket because so many people had passed away. And not everyone who passed away had a square either. Like it was huge. But it really sort of displayed the reality of individuals and their lives that had gone out. And for it to actually be displayed at the White House itself, it's kind of what I alluded to earlier about institutional support and acknowledging the importance of this physical artifact, but also the story that it represents.
Well, I was wrong. This is the second time it has been displayed at the White House. The first time was in 1988. Okay. There were about 8,288 panels displayed in 88, so 8,000 people represented by the quilt about 36 years ago.
Yeah.
The National AIDS Memorial Quilt is now, it's 54 tons, apparently, in terms of weight. There are 50,000 panels that make up the National AIDS Memorial Quilt. So that's about 110,000 individuals mm-hmm. that are now depicted in the quilt.
And I think the standard is 1 foot squared as well. So that's huge. I think it's a foot. They're not small.
It is significant. You know, for those who don't know, I mean, the government response, the health industry response, the health sector's response, it was shambolic, and it cost thousands of lives. The government response was horrific. It was definitely a word of warning for communicable diseases for generations that came after. So, 110,000 people through 50,000 panels, a significant number of which were recently displayed on the South Lawn of the White House. We also were made aware this week of raids in Moscow. Three nightclubs, the Alma, the Inferno, and the Mono, were raided as part of the anti-LGBTQ propaganda laws. A whole bunch of people were arrested for petty hooliganism during those raids. That was the crime that they were those gosh damn hooligans being gay in public. Shakes fist in Russian. I think it was like 12 people who have just been arrested, but at the end of the day, I mean, I'm not sure what one expects out of Moscow, a country that's currently actively invading its neighbor. And then finally, in Sydney, the Mardi Gras, and I always find Australia an interesting barometer of what may happen next in Canada, because of course their summer season is right now in our wintry doldrums.
People compare us to the United States quite a bit, but there's a lot of stories where we're more similar to Australia than we are to the US or England. Like, people exactly. sleep on Australian news, and they really shouldn't. We're very similar as countries.
I feel like that we don't. So just for context,
well, you and I don't, but like I'm talking about like the royal we, not royal we, the collective we, you know.
Yeah. So in Australia, there was a vote at the Sydney Mardi Gras annual meeting, and they were trying to decide on a motion as to whether or not the New South Wales police will be able to march in the upcoming Mardi Gras parade. Mm-hmm. Now, the relationship between the police and the community has been fraught. I believe it was the New South Wales police that had a serial killer similar to the gay serial killer in Toronto, and the handling of it was very ineffective. They did just last week actually arrest a 24-year-old for a vicious anti-gay hate crime just recently. So there is currently, there is police action supporting the community. But really, the question is, has it been enough? Has the police done enough since when these issues were first raised to actually put in the effort, the time to build the community? You spoke last week about how the Jewish community and the police have a stronger relationship in the city of Ottawa because of concerted efforts.
Yes.
And is that relationship in Sydney with the New South Wales police likewise on the mend? Now, you have an update for me on this particular story as to whether or not they will be banning the New South Wales police.
Yeah, they put forward three different motions, which are basically just stronger and stronger versions of each other. So the police can march, but not in uniform, and the police cannot march at all. All three of them were struck down, which means the police can march in the parade, and there's currently no restrictions about uniforms, about full uniform includes the weapon as well, so the gun is going to be on them. And I don't think they have service uniforms. So I don't think they've got like a desk uniform like they have in England. So it is currently, they are good to go. The police can march in the Mardi Gras parade as is and without restriction. But there is ongoing discussion about whether or not that will continue to be the case. All three versions were struck down, which means they're definitely going to show up. But if there are further restrictions, it's going to be a separate conversation. And there was like 700 people who showed up to vote. And I've never seen a pride with even 700 volunteers. So they had good turnout on this.
I do wonder what that's going to do for other prides in, you know, the rest of the world. Are we putting the issue of police participation in pride behind us? Or is this an indicator that pride organizations will continue to hold organizations that want to march with them to some degree of accountability?
Yeah.
You know, what way is that pendulum going to swing? We don't know. We can only sit and watch and wait to see what happens next summer. We will wait and see and watch what happens next summer, but we won't be telling you. Unfortunately, Cancria is coming to an end, and our dulcet tones and irreverent updates will be concluding as well. So just giving a gentle reminder that the show is wrapping up in a few weeks' time, early in the new year. Don't miss our big gay quiz of the year coming up very soon as well. I will be quizzing Sebastian on everything from Stonewall bricks to ancient Pompeii. It is a trivia quiz from hell, but entertaining to listen to, I hope. So check it out in a couple of weeks. Unfortunately, that is all we've got time for today. We'll be playing out with a fan favorite of ours, or we are a fan favorite of Amanda Room. This is Annie's Whip, the clean version. I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
Coming to